When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he wrote, as we explored a few weeks ago, to a church that was torn by disunity and was struggling to find their identity as both Jewish believers in the Messiah and as non-Jewish converts to the budding religion. Hear now Paul's words to the church in Corinth. Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This can be found on page 1772 of the Pew Bible. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Perhaps it's because the number of cable television shows to choose from is so great these days, or because we can pick and choose our shows on internet services like Hulu and Netflix. But infomercials are not so popular or well-viewed these days as they were 20 or so years ago. I'm sure they're still out there on cable TV somewhere in the wee hours of the night, but they're easier to avoid these days than they used to be. And avoid is exactly what most people want to do when an infomercial comes on TV. The presenters of these shows are infamous slick talkers with giant fake smiles, and they almost always have some sort of sidekick next to them who acts completely amazed by everything the presenter tells them about the new product they're selling. Their job is to make us wonder, how on earth did I ever live without this thing? But we know, in reality, we can live quite happily without a Thighmaster, or a tiny teddy bear to protect our shoulder from the seatbelt, vacuum hair clippers or spray paint for our hair, and we can even live without a Snuggie. Now just know, I actually own a Snuggie, so there's no judgment here if you own any of these products. In fact, it's actually pretty incredible the useless stuff a good infomercial presenter can sell. In ancient Greece, public speaking, oration, was a popular and well-respected profession. But most of the time, it was, like infomercials, just a lot of hot air. Paul used common public speaking techniques when he preached, but he had a real problem with speakers who were just saying a bunch of fancy fluff to push a particular opinion or idea. And this is what Paul is cautioning the church in Corinth against. Do not make the gospel just a bunch of pretty fluff. The gospel is powerful and different. And if proclaimed well, it's going to sound like foolishness to those who have not been grabbed a hold of by it yet. The gospel isn't something that conforms to human wisdom. The gospel can even be proclaimed by creation. It's not confined to human wisdom or speech. It breaks forth from the conventions we know in a way that even the heavens can declare. The Christians in Corinth are instructed by Paul not to just preach the law or Jesus' sayings. He certainly holds the law and Jesus' sayings in high esteem, but if that's all they're preaching, it's just nice, fluffy speech like that of the other orators of the time. They are to preach Christ crucified, not Jesus' teachings or the law, but the crucifixion. He tells them to preach salvation, not judgment, freedom, not rules, love, not indifference, Christ, not a catchphrase. This message is full of paradox. It seems to contradict itself, and it's hard for the human brain to get itself in tune with. But it's not just the message they are proclaiming that is paradoxical. Their very nature as a community is wild and different and contradictory. In a very segregated culture of slaves and masters, powerful men and powerless women, the very rich taking advantage of the extremely poor, the early church was a very strange mix of rich and poor, weak and strong, men and women, Jew and Gentile, powerful and powerless. Paul tells the early church, God is telling you all that this is something totally different. You are something totally different. It's okay to look silly in the eyes of the rest of the world, Paul goes on. It's okay to look silly or weird or different because God's wisdom and ways are so very different from ours. What humankind sees as complete, foolish nonsense is God's wisdom. What is strong by human standards is fragile compared to God. Our wisdom is so tiny compared to God's wisdom that it doesn't matter how wise a person is on earth, they are a fool compared to God. It doesn't matter how strong or powerful or rich a person is on earth. Compared to God, they're all weak, powerless, poor. When you realize this, says Paul, your church is going to look ridiculous to the people around you. But remember, it's all about perspective. The church has many roles assigned to it these days, and not all of them are healthy. For some, the church is just another social club among many other social clubs. For some, the church is just another one of the charities to call when one is low on food or rent money or a utility is about to be shut off. Many people see the church as just the place they go as a part of a holiday tradition because that's what they do. For others, the church is simply an irrelevant and dying throwback to less enlightened times. Now, there's nothing wrong with fellowship in the church, of course. That's part of who we are. Part of who we are is helping those in need. Celebration is important. History and tradition are important. The problem lies in when the church is seen as nothing more than that, when it blends in with all the other clubs and charities and traditions. It's important for us to remember Paul's words. Making pretty speech and arguments just to win people over isn't helpful. Crafting our message in special ways to be more relevant is just adhering to the world's wisdom. It's just another way of blending right in with everything around us in a world full of slick salespeople and fast-talking politicians and targeted marketing. Proclaiming crucifixion is uncomfortable. Talking about denying things like wealth and power and strength seems like foolishness. And this message is foolishness when we compare it to the world's standards of wisdom. Standing out and embracing people who we wouldn't otherwise hang out with is bizarre and silly. Saying that all people are equally valuable, no matter how strong or powerful or wealthy or pretty or whatever, that's foolishness by the world's standards. Proclaiming a crucified Messiah who can unite all people as one family, regardless of their assets, turns everything the world teaches us on its head. But that is what we are called to as a community. We are called to turn everything the world teaches us on its head and to proclaim a suffering Savior who became powerless for our sakes. We cannot simply blend in. We cannot judge our proclamation or our church life by the world's standards. We must stand out. Lexi and I were at the Apple store the other day, and we just looked like any other old mom and teenager out running errands in their jeans and t-shirts. As we were talking to the sales guy about what we were there for, and we were working through the checkout process, we chatted. He was a friendly kid, and he asked Lexi about where she went to school and what grade she was in, and of course, he eventually asked me, "So where do you work?" I said, "I work at Liberty Presbyterian Church. I'm the pastor there." And then I had to keep from giggling at the surprised look on his face. This was clearly not even in the realm of what he expected to hear come out of my mouth. After a few seconds, he said, "That's so cool that they let you do that." I'm not even quite sure what he meant by that. It was one of the more hilariously candid reactions I've gotten when I've answered that question. But we had a really great conversation after that about church. And we'd never have had that conversation if he hadn't asked me what I do. And we never would have had that conversation if I had muttered something into the corner just to avoid the awkwardness of answering that question. We can be, and we should be, proclaimers of grace in the world. If the very creation is singing God's praises, who are we to blend in so much people don't notice us? That doesn't mean picketing or arguing people down. It means being set apart, being holy, and being the embodiment of love in our world. We aren't set apart for the sake of being set apart, but because in doing this, in being something strange and different from the rest of the world, we begin to turn the world's wisdom on its head and to proclaim a wisdom that looks totally different from what the world expects. We Christians need to start finding ways to stand out, to startle the world by not being what it expects. Answer the question with the last thing they expect to hear. When the church stops looking like just another social club or political party or charity, it's surprising, and it starts real conversations that would otherwise never happen. And you know, it's important that we remind ourselves that we're set apart. I like having a clergy magnet on the back of my car because it makes me a nicer driver. I behave much better with that reminder of who I'm representing than I would if I were more anonymous. I like wearing a cross necklace, not because I necessarily need to remind the rest of the people around me that I'm a Christian, but because I behave better when I have a reminder to myself of who I am and of whose I am. So this Lenten season, let's surprise the world. Let's let our cross pins and necklaces and car stickers be reminders to those around us and to us that we are someone different than the world expects us to be. We aren't just infomercial salesmen trying to sell the latest, greatest version of Christianity Lite. Our faith has far more to offer than rules and pretty sayings. It proclaims the foolish wisdom of the cross that sets the captives free. To those who are saved, this is the power of God. Amen.